Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 325, So Cozy. Thursday, February 29th, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. I am so thankful for listeners who lend their support via one-time contributions or monthly memberships on Ko-fi. If you're interested in supporting me via this option, you can find the links via Instagram or on my website. Each quarter, I do a prize draw for a member or someone who has made a contribution during that quarter. And it won't be too long before I am making the draw for the first prize of 2024. And that is the opportunity to collaborate with Sarah of Woolen Waves and receive a pair of specially knit machine-made socks. She has some really great designs and some innovative ideas. I very much enjoy wearing the socks that Sarah has made, and I would like to put a listener in the way of enjoying a pair of socks also. So you just have a few more weeks before March 20th or thereabouts when I draw the prize for the first quarter. And that means there's still time to make a contribution and get yourself entered into that drawing. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, on the porch, ever-expanding skill set, and off the shelf. Hello, everyone. It's great to reconnect with you on this Thursday afternoon. It's our leap day of 2024, and just one more opportunity to try and record a second podcast during the month of February. My goal is to complete 2 episodes per month. I'm not sure that I'm going to get this episode out today, but it's getting recorded and hopefully gets to you over the airwaves very soon. I have a lot to talk about since recording the last episode because I have completed a sweater in that time. It's the Yun sweater, E-U-N, by Anne Fiskum Sund. I was knitting this along with my friend Mary Beth, who was using her very lovely Tidal yarns. She had purchased some worsted weight yarn at Rhinebeck and was knitting it into this sweater. And I was using some stash yarn. I had some Cascade 220 Sport and some Shibui Silk Cloud, both in silvery gray. So I was combining a real workhorse yarn and a real luxury yarn, and I very much enjoyed the way this sweater came together. I titled this episode So Cozy because this is probably the coziest sweater I have ever knit, and also it's one of the most quick knits that I've done. It was done on a pretty loose gauge, certainly holding the Shibui Silk Cloud together with the wool yarn created an opportunity to have a looser gauge and still get a beautiful fabric. I'm not so much one to be on this train. I think the train has left the station, like, of combining 2 yarns. I don't really know that this is, like, quite the hot thing anymore. But when it was the hot thing, I wasn't doing it. I was not holding yarns double. I find it a little bit fiddly. I'm kind of the opinion of just, like, buying one beautiful yarn that you want and knitting a sweater with it. But in this case, I am trying to use up some stash, and I really did have this very deep desire to create the sweater by November Knits because it did look cozy. I just loved the look of it. And what really sings to me about the design of this top-down sweater with long sleeves and very high side slits was the beautiful raglan shaping. It was like a deep rib raglan shaping. And I just thought it looked kind of like luxurious and rich. And I love the way 2x2 rib looks. And it looked really good with this yarn combination also. So I did make some modifications to the sweater because it is shown in the finished photographs as being quite oversized, especially in the sleeve. And I wasn't very interested in having a big baggy sleeve on the sweater. So I was careful to knit the sweater with an eye toward some sleeve shaping that would be a little bit slimmer. And some other changes I wanted to make were to begin both the deep ribbing at the bottom of the sweater and ribbing on the sleeve at the same point. So they corresponded, and when you're standing with your arms down, you could see that the ribbing starts at the same point. I think this gives a beautifully balanced look that I really like. I've kind of created that on a few other sweaters and I enjoy it. So I wanted to duplicate that here and I was able to do that. And then the other thing, which despite a lot of excellent design elements of this sweater, I think was a little bit of a miss, is that she has this beautiful raglan shaping around the shoulder of the sweater, and then when you get to the underarm, it stops completely. And then not too much knitting in the round happens before you've already split for these deep side slits of the sweater, and you're doing 2x2 rib again. And as Mary Beth pointed out, it seemed that many folks who have knit the sweater have opted to continue that raglan shaping down the side of the sweater. I love a faux side seam anyway. I like something along the sides of the sweater that accentuate a vertical line. I think that is an elegant way to pull a sweater together, especially in these days when sweaters are not actually seamed very often. It's sort of the look of a faux seam. And so this raglan shaping pulled down the side of the sweater incorporates this faux seam look. It's just elegant and beautiful. And I absolutely wanted to incorporate that. It was very easy to do given these directions because the instructions for knitting this pattern rely on some prior knowledge of the knitter in terms of sweater knitting, which I applaud. I'm behind that. I feel like there aren't directions that are so concise that you don't feel like you can deviate from them and create the sweater you want. So even though that element wasn't built into the pattern, it was easy to pull that off. I also opted not to fold down and seam the neck of the sweater. I kind of left it a high, but not too high, turtleneck. It amps up the coziness factor. And I closed off the sleeves and the bottom hem of the sweater with a tubular bind off for a nice clean finish. And with those bind offs, I just dropped the Shibui silk cloud and I just did the bind offs with the wool yarn. Same with my tubular cast on. I'm pretty sure when I cast on at the neck, I just cast on with the wool yarn, and then in the second pass I added the Shibui yarn. It's just easier and a little less fiddly to work with it that way. I did have a couple of places where I needed to rip back and redo because I was kind of designing portions of this sweater as I went. I didn't want the sleeves so loose as in the original, but then my modifications were on the first try too tight. So I needed to rip back and add stitches and also play around a little bit with needle size in order to get the gauge that I want. I did a little video not too far back showing the sweater. I really, really like it. If given the opportunity, I would whip through another sweater like this next winter because I think it's like really highly wearable. And yeah, I found myself wearing this around the house a little bit more than some of my other sweaters, which I will sometimes remove and sort of clean and put away and fold once I get home, and I don't necessarily wear them so much around the house. But this one I was. I got a lot of compliments on it, and it was a pretty quick knit. The only unfortunate thing is, well, not so unfortunate because everyone's ready for winter to be over and the weather to be warming up, but this sweater is definitely a cold weather sweater. It will not transition to spring at all. It's super fuzzy, cozy, and warm. And, you know, anything over 55 degrees, I feel like I would be overheating in it. So I think I knit it just in time to get a few wears out of it before putting it away and being excited to dig it up again next year when the weather starts turning cold. Once again, that sweater is the Un, E-U-N, by Anne Fiskumsund, and she goes by November Knits. Since talking with you last, I also completed a hand spinning project. I had a quarter of Lenore's fleece. It's a beautiful Romney, Corriedale, and a few other breed blends from Shepherd's Hay Farm. And I worked on this fiber from start to finish. I processed the raw fleece. I used a drum carder to create bats. I spun quite fine singles and then I plied it into a two-ply. I ended up with over 1,000 yards, and the finished yarn is anywhere from a light fingering weight to a sport weight. It is beautiful. It's perhaps slightly overspun. I will think very carefully as I wind it up into cakes how to wind it so that I am removing a bit of twist as I wind it into cakes as opposed to adding more. And I may even do that twice. I may wind it off the skein and wind it again from a cake into another cake and sort of really loosen that up because I want a nice relaxed drape on the yarn when I'm knitting with it. And I'm very, very pleased that this yardage is certainly enough to knit the Hatsuki. This is it's a sleeveless top, but it's oversized. So it sort of has the appearance of a sleeve with a boxy shape. And the design has a very wide rib as well as an offset kind of asymmetrical lace pattern only on the front. The sweater, as shown in the project photographs, is knit with a yarn that is very much the same color as my Lenore yarn. But I believe it has plant fibers in it. So I'm going to be attempting this with a wool yarn, but I'm hoping for kind of a spring fall type sweater because it doesn't have sleeves and it has this like drapey open shape. It looks extremely beautiful on the model, and not only have quite a few knitters knit this up and taken very nice photographs, but a highly respected and reliable knitter friend, Nancy, who's Northern Flicker, has also knit this pattern. And so it gives me a certain amount of confidence to know that, you know, a very shrewd knitter that I know has knit this pattern and has nice things to say about it. So I have not begun it. I'm still like in the looking over the pattern directions and thinking about it stage, but I do look forward to starting this pattern very soon. And if I am so fortunate as to attend Maryland Sheep and Wool in early May, that is my target date for completing this sweater so that I could show the shepherdess what I have done with her beautiful fleece. So that's the goal. We will see. And of course, as always, you will hear about it on this podcast when it happens. All right, since completing the Yun sweater, which I took up kind of in a rush and in a bit of excitement, I set aside for a time another pattern that I've been working on, which is version 2 of a Darta sweater in beautiful Tidal yarns featuring color work from yet another pattern. So my inspiration for this was to create a sweater with color work on the body of the sweater. And so far, the color work that I've done on garments has really been about, you know, color work on the yoke. And I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I also find that although I love my color work yoke sweaters, I do really appreciate the fit of a sweater that doesn't have that kind of circular yoke. And a sweater I've knit recently that I really did appreciate the fit of was the Darta sweater. So I decided that what I would do would be to use the stitch count and the overall general directions of Darta and apply this pusteblume, this dandelion color work motif chart, and repeat that several times around the sweater. And of course, I would be knitting Darta in stockinette stitch as opposed to reverse stockinette. So it took a couple of starts with this because I found that my stitches were a little bit tighter than they were for some reason on the Darta, and the same stitch count in color work, even though I went up 2 needle sizes, was still a bit too snug. So I played around with the pattern. I altered the chart a little bit, a lot of it actually, and kind of came up with something that once I had about 7 inches, I could try it on and make sure that it wasn't going to be too tight. I don't think this sweater is going to be any too big, but I have now completed the color work. So the entire dandelion motif exists 5 times all the way around the sweater. And in Patricia's yarn, it is really delightful. It's definitely a beautiful spring sweater. The colors are like a greenish yellow for the motif and then this beautiful lavender color for the main color. And now I am being very grateful to my former self for taking super careful notes on what I was doing when I knit Darta for the first time and I kept great notes on Ravelry of what I was doing. So now I'm following those notes and knitting with the main color to work up, you know, the front and back body and then the sleeves. And I am also confident at this point that I have plenty of yarn to complete this project, even a little bit more than I had anticipated. So that's great. And since I've knit the sweater before, I feel like it is working up quite a bit easier now that I am done with the color work. That color work was very challenging. I don't think I've done very much color work at all that isn't like a Fair Isle type motif with a repeat. This was a 40 stitch chart and there were no regular repeats. Every row was very different. There were some very long places where you needed to trap your yarn behind several times because there would be like a big expanse of main color, and therefore it becomes a little more challenging to keep your tension. It's difficult to memorize a 40 stitch chart, and it was slow going a little bit, but I persisted and I am very pleased with the way it came out. And I don't think that my edits on the chart really diminish the look of the dandelion motif at all. So I'll be steadily working on that in the next couple of weeks and hopefully finishing very soon. Since late November, I have been spinning pretty much every day. And last week I transitioned from spinning on my Louette spinning wheel to spinning roll lags with my drop spindles. And so before completing 100 days of spinning, I've re-embarked on a 100 day project, a journey to work on spindle spinning every day for 100 days. And accumulate as many singles as I can so that I can work on another combo spin and ply some of these hand spun singles together into kind of a crazy, textured, lofty, artful yarn. I have made some of these yarns in the past and they stretch my abilities a little bit, and also they stretch the way I think about how to work them into a garment or an accessory, and I really like that challenge. So I'm pleased to be doing it again. And I have a lovely little collection of spindles. Most of them are Turkish in style. I have some extraordinary handmade Jenkins spindles. I have three different styles of Jenkins spindles. And if you follow my Instagram, you will see in my stories that I'll spin with each spindle for about a week, and then I'll pull the yarn, also known as a turtle, I'll pull the turtle off of that spindle and then move on to another spindle and just kind of keep cycling through all of my spindles. So some of them, as I said, are Jenkins Turkish spindles. I also have some 3D Turkish spindles from Jen Kemery, and I really love those, especially for travel. I have a Jalligan, a Scottish drop spindle, and then I have some more traditional top whorl spindles. So over the course of this 100 days, I'll use each of my spindles at least one time. My collection isn't that big, so I'll probably cycle through them a couple of different times. And I'll also have some on-the-go spindling. I have a Turkish drop spindle from Jen Kemery that's so small it fits into a little metal Band-Aid box. That's like really awesome for traveling. So I'll spin, I'll make roll lags,
from Fiber in My Stash, and each week I'll make a little compilation of photographs from my spinning and pop it into my Instagram stories as a way of sharing my progress with you. And then at the end of that 100 days, I'm gauging this will be sometime in May. I don't actually know when the end date for the 100 days is, but I'm not worried about it right now. Sometime in May, when the 100 days is over, I will begin plying. And I kind of have a head start with these turtles because I have some that I have spun already and that have just been kind of waiting around. So I have like a little backlog of spindle spun fiber as well. So that's my 100 days and keeping the spinning going. And I really do find it to be meditative. And after having engaged in a practice for so many days, it almost feels like something is missing if I don't do it. And that's kind of part of habit formation. I make this habit of spindle spinning part of my morning routine. And the longer I do it, the more it becomes part of my routine and part of me. And that's what I'm really aiming for. That's the kind of behavior modification you can get by engaging in a 100-day project. And you can start any day. Any day can be the start of a 100-day project. All right, for ever-expanding skill set, I have been turning back to some different kinds of sewing projects, in particular hand stitching. I am currently working on hand stitching an Allwell box top in beautiful black linen. And in terms of expanding my skill set, because I have hand stitched a top before, I am playing with some new materials, including linen thread and some different kinds of needles. I'm also working with using a thimble and trying to make that a consistent part of my practice. And I'm really having a lot of fun with it. I'm also hand stitching this shirt and thinking about the Allwell box top because I'm starting to think about the possibility of offering some classes, some in-person handwork classes at Orange this coming summer. So I've mentioned on the podcast before that Samuel and I have made an investment in property locally in Delaware Water Gap, where we have long had a studio and, you know, it's really close to our home. And we made a purchase of property there. And one aspect of this property is a cafe that Samuel has opened. It's called Orange. It's coffee, art, and music. It's a beautiful venue. And it's kind of a weekend space, meaning that there's some opportunity for other kinds of activities to go on there during the week. It's big, it's gorgeous and well appointed, it has wonderful lighting in it, and it really has a lot of potential for doing some different kinds of classes in handwork. And one class that I'm thinking about doing is hand stitching a very simple garment. Another is a class that I've taught in some different formations before, which is doing reverse applique on knits and thinking about how to upcycle knit fabric into garments and accessories using reverse applique as kind of a embellishment kind of aspect. And another consideration that I had was thinking about doing some spindle spinning or something with fleece preparation or something like that. So I will link Orange and its events page to this episode. I currently don't have any classes available right now, but in case you're local or in case you will be visiting the Delaware Water Gap area in the future, you may want to know about the offerings there. And when I make a decision about some teaching and instruction that I want to do there, those events will be listed on the Orange site through their Eventbrite. So I encourage you to take a look and maybe save that, keep it on your radar if you're looking for a way to engage in some handwork opportunities this summer. For Off the Shelf today, I'm going to share a poem that appears in a collection I have called Teaching with Fire, Poetry That Sustains the Courage to Teach. This is a small, beautiful book that I used extensively in my work with the National Writing Project when I worked with educators with the sole objective of helping educators be better teachers of writing. And this collection contains poetry, mostly by well-known, often anthologized poets. And by way of introduction, there are very small essays from educators who have selected those poets and those poems to be part of the collection. And so I'm going to read the poem first, and then I'll read a little bit from the educator who selected that work for this publication. This poem is a Wendell Berry poem I've been reading because it's a gift from an educator friend and a mentor friend of mine, Dr. Thomas Smock. I've been reading some Wendell Berry essays and haven't read much Wendell Berry poetry. This is titled A Purification. At the start of spring, I open a trench in the ground. I put into it the winter's accumulation of paper. Pages I do not want to read again. Useless words, fragments, errors. And I put into it the contents of the outhouse. Light of the sun, growth of the ground, finished with one of their journeys. To the sky, to the wind then, and to the faithful trees, I confess my sins. That I have not been happy enough, considering my good luck. Have listened to too much noise, have been inattentive to wonders, have lusted after praise, and then, upon the gathered refuse of mind and body, I close the trench, folding shut again the dark, the deathless earth. Beneath that seal, the old escapes into the new. The introduction is provided by Rick Jackson, who's co-director, or who was at the time of this printing. Let's just see. This was published in 2003. So at that time, Rick Jackson was co-director of the Center for Teacher Formation in Washington. And he writes, I am a connector by nature. I love to draw lines between the dots of ideas, people, projects, opportunities. Most of the time, it's a helpful trait, but sometimes I find myself whelmed over by so many connections that my internal life becomes gridlocked. How do I find rest from the traffic jam of it all? Just imagine every year digging a hole in the ground and pouring in a year's worth of papers, emails, awards, mistakes, reports, assorted things I do not need anymore. Sweep the desk clear, empty the backpack, compost it all. Add the waste accumulated within myself, stuff that bogs me down as I haul it around, disappointments and worse, doubts, resentments, remorse. Better to place them in the earth, giving thanks for whatever I've been able to learn. Better to make room for new growth in my soul. And I'll read that again. A Purification by Wendell Berry. At the start of spring, I open a trench in the ground. I put into it the winter's accumulation of paper. Pages I do not want to read again. Useless words, fragments, errors. And I put into it the contents of the outhouse, the light of the sun, growth of the ground, finished with one of their journeys. To the sky, to the wind then, and to the faithful trees, I confess my sins, that I have not been happy enough considering my good luck, have listened to too much noise, have been inattentive to wonders, have lusted after praise. And then upon the gathered refuse of mind and body, I close the trench, folding shut again the dark, the deathless earth. Beneath that seal, the old escapes into the new. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope your coming days provide some time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.